Welcome to Jenny's Tattletales, episode 4.
Episode 4. And happy new year to everybody. I don't know if you've actually uploaded since 2021, have you?
No.
Okay.
But this is Jenny and Andrea.
This is Jenny and Andrea, and we are ready for this new year. It's been a great
interesting
start. So here's the thing with New Year's, I do like resolutions. I'm a resolution girl, and I kind of have said this before. I think Andrew's already uploaded this, but I had three things that I want to really kind of focus and concentrate on this year. Are you a resolution person?
Not really, because I know I will not start it on the first if it's not on a Monday. I always start resolutions on Mondays. I don't start in middle of the week. It's just, you know, and I should, because months start anytime. I mean, they start sometimes on Wednesday or Saturday, but mentally my mind is set to start things on Mondays.
Mondays. That's a good beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. My resolutions were, had to do with my sleep, because I am a horrible sleeper. It has to do with my weight, and it also had to do with creating balance in my life.
Well, I feel like these should be ongoing resolutions.
Right? They would be good. they would definitely, they're definitely things that everybody probably needs in their life for sure. Maybe not the weight thing. Maybe some people are super healthy out there and doing their thing. But
I think everybody, especially where we are right now with the pandemic and everything, I think everybody has that problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're maybe 1%. Yeah. Well, we are those 99%.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my friend Debbie actually told me, my friend Debbie is a very, very, very healthy person, and she's got a body that everybody would absolutely love. And she told me a long time ago, when we were talking about weight, and she said something about how she just had an area that she didn't like or something like that. I was like, what are you talking about? You're perfect. You look great. And she said to me, everybody has issues with their body, and it doesn't matter if you're a size 2 or a size 20. Everybody has them, and they're just as real to the size 2 person as they are to the size 20 person. And I always thought that was so insightful, because you think, you look at a skinny person and you think, oh, they have no problems.
Okay. So one of my younger sister, she's very good looking. She's mm-hmm. size 0. Mm-hmm. She used to be 00, but now she had a baby. She's size 0. Right? And I mean, you know, she liked that her boobs got bigger from the pregnancy, but she would like maybe more on her butt. Like, there's always something.
Always something more that you could want and be happy with. And so one of my goals this year, my resolutions, I like to call them goals more than resolutions, but one of my goals was that I want to get to a weight that I feel good about. And if it's not a size 0, whatever it is, by the end of this year, I want to be perfectly at peace with whatever that is, whatever my new body, whatever the way that it looks. I want to come to a sense of peace about it. So that was my one thing. And then the sleep thing, I'm a horrible sleeper. I go to bed at 2:30 in the morning, and I get up, usually sleep about 4 to 5 hours a night. And that's not super, super good. Well, we just got back from Belize, where they're 2 hours ahead. And I went with Jeff, my husband, and I went with my best friend, Debbie, and her husband, Jeff. And the three of them are super, super early to bed, early to risers. And I'm the one holdout, right? So I decided, okay, I was going to try to get on their sleep schedule so that we could all kind of get up and go and do things at the same time. And I'm serious. I came back kind of cured. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to bed earlier, and I'm getting up. I'm getting up at 6:30, which anybody that knows me knows that is just insane. So,
you know what? That happened to us when we moved here the first.
Oh, Chicago.
To Washington. Yeah, from Chicago. That's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Different. So we were on the same time zone with you in Belize. And in the beginning, it took us about, I would say, a good month, a month and a half, until we finally got adjusted to this time zone here, because we were going to bed very early. And, you know, now I go to sleep at the same time you go to sleep.
You go to sleep very late or very early in the morning as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was actually very, very surprised at how fast things kind of clicked in. And at first it was because of our flight and because, you know, just being on vacation, you kind of relax a little bit. And my husband and I just, we slept for like 12 hours that first night. And that's unheard of for me.
That was a long trip.
That was a really long trip. Yeah. It's a whole day to get there, yeah. Several flights to get there and everything. And we did get there a couple of days before Jeff and Debbie. So we were, you know, we had time to kind of just settle down and relax and stuff. And of course it was beautiful. It was about 81 the whole time we were there. And, so it was really great. So it's kind of funny that I thought the sleep would actually be the hardest thing that I had to do. And it so far has been the easiest. So that's pretty good. The balance thing. Now here's something funny. I know that you kind of believe in this too a little bit, but this whole idea of chi and balance and chakras and energy and all of these different things. It's something I've always really been interested in. I do think that there is something to it. My friend Debbie is also very much into yoga, and you're going to know the word better than I did. It was
Ayurveda.
Say
Ayurveda.
Yeah, Ayurveda.
A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A.
Yeah. I've never heard of that before. And we went, Debbie wanted to go to yoga. And I'm like, oh God, nobody wants to see
it's this. It's different than regular yoga. I'm not sure exactly what's the difference.
It's balance. It's about the elements. It's about the elements and stuff. And whether or not you have, and I think it was the five. So it was fire, water, earth, sky, and wind, I believe is what they were. And she told me I was fire and earth, which are complete opposites of one another, which is why I'm probably confused half the time. She said that I needed to have a little bit more concentration, but not have concentration. And I, you know, it was like this whole idea of things working against each other. Debbie was fire. So have you looked into this yourself? Do you know what you are?
You know what? I had my friend Rebecca look into it. Rebecca is a life coach that she does energy work and all these. She's familiar with all these things. So whenever I had a problem, I just had her give me the point.
Tell me what's wrong with me.
Yeah. So she looked it up. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Or she might have told me. I forgot because I'm just not into these. I mean, I'm into these things, but I don't remember them.
You don't remember them. Well, okay. So, well, no. And I get that. There is so much to it. And the funny thing is after we did that part and we learned about that and she told us, okay, you need to, so like Debbie was fire. So she needs to calm her fire and all of these different things. And so you bring more elements of these other things into your life.
I mean, know myself, I would think there's some fire there. Now I don't know what's the other one, if it's just all fire.
Yeah. I kind of was surprised. I thought I was probably more water. I really am in tune with the water and all those things. And now it makes more sense to me. If I'm fire and I'm earth, then I would crave water. I would want water, which is
well, I crave water too. So maybe maybe that's why we get along because we're so similar, but so different.
Yeah. And the idea of fire and all of that stuff and soothing it with water. Anyway, so we had kind of done that. I did yoga, which I've never really liked, but I really did enjoy this one. It did make me feel differently. It wasn't, and I guess it's different. You know, she says, the instructor, Natalie, she said, I hate studio yoga because it's not the same as what this is. And this is very much centered, bringing in all your senses and all of these things. And I was really pleasantly surprised at how much I did it. I did like it.
I mean, if you've never done yoga, you think it's all something, just a little stretching here and there. But if you have done it, it's actually exhausting physically and you're not, you don't seem like you're doing much. You're just stretching most of the time. But by the time you're done with one session, you feel the burn.
Yeah, you really, you do. And you feel emotionally and physically drained. And then right after that, we went and got our special drinks. Cause she said that she gave each one of us, this is the kind of drink you need to drink for your element or whatever. And so we went and had those and they were really, really good. And then we went and had a chakra cleansing, which I've always been interested in chakras and balance and acupuncture and cupping and all of those different things that are kind of more of the Eastern philosophies. I think there's a lot to them. So
it is because people use these for centuries.
They
five, if not millennia, right?
1,000 years.
Yeah,
it's
so
crazy. Yeah.
I think there has to be a balance between modern medicine and Eastern or, you know, old ways of medicine.
Yeah. And the funny thing is we decided to go get deep tissue massages like a couple of days before. And we both really like deep tissue massage because it really kind of gets in there. You drink a lot of water, you get all the toxins out, everything's great. The chakra cleansing thing was a little bit different. It was deep tissue, but it didn't feel the same. It was really weird. And then they used hot stones.
So it's like somebody's pushing and breaking.
Well, it's also in your like weird pressure points and things like that. And by the end, you really did feel lighter. Like it was really, really strange. And then she told us what our auras were. And Debbie was yellow and I was pink. So, and I guess you're kind of always trying to get to that green or blue color. And I don't really know all the reasons why, but I did get a lot out of it. I did think it was really interesting, and given the rest of the trip, the way that it happened, it was very soothing.
Are we gonna talk about it now, or that's for another day?
Yeah, I don't know if we should talk about it, but I, you know, we talk about New Year's resolutions, and actually resolutions, you know, you kind of go into them. I don't know how everyone else is out there, but when I go into a resolution, I get all prepared and I'm all ready. And so on day one, New Year's, it's like, okay, I am starting my new life. I'm going to journal every day and I'm going to eat right and I'm going to drink all my water and I'm going to, you know, do all of these really wonderful things. And you think, okay, I'm ready. And I was so ready. And then some stuff happened on New Year's Day.
Before we get into that, how can you even start something on New Year's Day when you're on vacation, or even if you're not on vacation, when you're supposed to just let it loose and enjoy yourself and enjoy time? Or if, let's say, you are not on vacation, but you went to a New Year's party where there was lots of drinking and eating, how can you start?
Yeah. How do you start it?
How you started on January 1st in the morning when you're trying to wake up from the hangover the night before.
And here's the thing is I've always on New Year's Day been one of those people that I just get kind of a little bit obliterated on that night just because it's so fun and it's so easy to drink.
Yeah, I mean, we always went to parties on New Year's and we were partying until like 5, 6, 7, sometimes the light was up in the morning.
Yeah.
We were done partying.
Yeah.
So you sleep the whole day, so you cannot start anything on the first. That's why
exactly.
I start everything on Monday.
Well, I can tell you that as I've gotten a little bit older, I don't party as hard on New Year's.
Well, yes, that's
but
true.
But here's the thing about being on vacation is, you know, when you're here in the rat race and you're doing all of your stuff, you're kind of concentrating on, okay, I got to get the Christmas tree down, or I got to go do all of these things and or go get the groceries or go whatever. When you're on vacation, you really do get to be a little selfish. You're kind of sitting there. You don't have all those distractions around you and stuff. So you really are kind of focused. And we were in a beautiful place. I mean, we were in the tropical turquoise water.
Did you have like a big buffet at the restaurants and stuff?
No, we went to a very beautiful.
Like an all-inclusive?
No, it wasn't all-inclusive.
Okay.
But on the southern tip, there was this place called Solace Kitchen that was just beautiful. And it wasn't 360. I'm terrible with my degrees, but it was almost 360-degree view. And you got to see the sunset right there on the tip. And we did have some drinks.
And I think we posted it on your Instagram,
too. The Solace Kitchen.
Yeah,
yes,
they want to
right.
see the
yes.
pictures.
Yes. Beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it was so fun. And we had a great time. Did drink a little bit, but not a ton. And we drank a lot of water and all of that stuff too. So when I woke up in the morning, I was feeling really good. And we spent the day at the beach and just kind of hanging out and doing our thing. And then we went on a sunset cruise, which was really, really lovely. And then came back and we were on our way back to the hotel. And so the whole day was just kind of very relaxed and lovely. And so it was very, circumstances were very conducive to this whole idea of a new start and all of these things. So it was really, really great. Now I guess I should talk about this, because what happens when you start your time and like, let's say you're going to start a weight loss thing And then day one, like you just said, you're drunk, you're hungover, and you will eat anything because you're just trying to get the room to stop spinning.
Yeah.
Or it's the next day and you're just feeling like crap and you just really, really want to just, you'll do whatever you can to feel better. So you might blow your diet on the very first day. And that's really, I think that happens a lot. And for me personally, when that happens, it's kind of like, okay, you know, year's over now. It's hard to get back on track. And I don't know if other people are like that, but I am definitely like that. And
well, I think there's certain things that people say that if you want to, you know, continue and make sure that, you know, you go ahead with your goals, there are a couple of things you can do, like journal is mm-hmm, one thing. Mm-hmm. Journaling helps. You have to stick to it, but it helps when yeah. you are. And also having somebody else that holds you accountable,
yeah.
like tell a friend or your spouse or somebody else that, you know, they can put you back on track.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really helpful. I think that.
Or some people are motivated by rewards,
mm-hmm.
you know, create rewards for yourself and say, okay, I'm not going to get it until I do this.
Yeah. And then if you fall, figuring out a way to just pick yourself up and dust yourself off and start again.
I think it's worse when you fall and you don't get back on it versus when you fall. Yes, you fumble. It takes you a while to figure out, but then you eventually get back on track and you continue. I think that's...
Yeah, yeah. Well, so yeah, I guess to kind of start, first off, I really want to say that when I've traveled a lot, I've gone to a lot of different places. We've been all over Mexico. We've been to Caribbean. We have been South America, Central America. We've been to Europe. I've been to Russia. I've been to the Baltic. I've been all over the place. And you know, when I do travel, I'm really, really careful. I want usually two or three things to happen when I travel. One, I want to experience what locals experience. So if I go somewhere, I like eating what they eat. I like staying where they stay.
But that's the point. When you travel, you need to experience something different than what you're used to.
Exactly. Yeah, that's I really, really love that. We, especially when we're in countries that are quite a bit poor, we do try very hard to utilize all their excursions. You know, we tip well, we try very hard to be respectful. So I want to say that right from the get-go, that is just a motto. That's just something that is built inside me when I travel. And I guess we could go on to, Andrea's kind of told me about Europe and what they tend to think about Americans over there. And just know that there is some Americans out there that that really do try very hard to be very respectful of culture and laws and all of those different things. And I myself and my husband and Jeff and Debbie are definitely those kinds of people. So when we went to Belize, we knew that there they have a mandatory 8 o'clock curfew. With COVID and everything, they're just opening up. They were closed in March. They have been without tourists, which they are 100% a tourist industry over there. And they had just opened up. So from what the locals had told us, you know, many of their people are just starving and they're out of work and they've lost their homes. And they've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for tourist season to open back up. So we stayed on the south end and we were at Pelican Reef Villas, which was a very lovely place. And if you find yourself there, tell Tristian and Carol hello, because they are the most remarkable people and very helpful and wonderful. And we got there and we knew that you had to wear masks in town and things and around people because, you know, they're of the spread of COVID and those kinds of things. So we were doing that. We were doing that everywhere we went. And after our sunset cruise on the very first day of the year, we were coming back and we were about maybe 5 minutes from Pelican Reef. And so on Belize, Ambergris Key, which is San Pedro, which is where we were at, everything's done in golf carts. There's no motorized cars. Or there is motorized cars, but they're like taxis and things like that. They're not tourists and the locals and everybody, they drive golf carts. And so we were in the golf cart, and we had seen from day one, you know, as we were coming in and out of town, you'd have some people in the golf carts were wearing their masks, some were not wearing masks, and others were wearing them under their chin or under their nose or whatever. And that's locals, tourists, police, everybody. So we thought in being in the cart, not when you're in town walking or anything, but when you're in the cart, an open air cart, it was a preference about how you wore your mask. So we were wearing our masks. Some of us in out of our little group of four were wearing them under our chin. Some had them in our hand, but none of us had them over our mouths and nose. And so when this happened, we were very, very surprised because we thought it was a preference. We thought that we were being respectful. And so we're driving back, and we've got about maybe, 5 minutes left before we're back to our lodging. And this car goes by us, and it's there's a couple in it, and they're dressed similarly. And they just screamed at us. They seriously, just a scream. It was kind of a bellow. And they said, stop, stop. And they wanted us to pull over. Well, originally we didn't know if it was because there was an accident in front of us or there was something wrong with the cart, or we didn't really know why they were yelling at us or who they were. So we stopped, and Debbie instinctively decided that she was going to put her mask on, which wound up being a very good thing. And when these people got out of the car, they just kept yelling. And they speak kind of a heavy Creole, so it was kind of hard to understand. And we didn't really know what they were saying for several minutes. And finally, we figured out it was our masks. We were not wearing our masks in the open air cart. So we all put them on and figured out that these people were security or something. We weren't quite sure exactly who they were. They were saying that they were the police, but they didn't show us any identification. They weren't wearing their badges that I could see. Although Debbie did say later on that she did notice they were wearing kind of like a little placard card that said their name. And they didn't look like police. And they were driving a golf cart with a broken taillight. So we're sitting there thinking, who are these people? We don't really know. Well, they're yelling and just being very belligerent. And finally, they say, you go to the jail. And we're like, the jail. Okay. They're like, you go to the jail. And we said, we don't know where the jail is. You know, we just got here. You're not wearing the mask. We're going to detain you. And we're like, oh, we did not know that you're not. Okay. We will put the masks on. And we were very sorry about that. Nope. You're going to the jail and we're going to detain you. And we're like,
so no warning,
no warning, wow. No warning at all. And so we're like, okay, we're not exactly sure what's going to happen, but we will follow these guys. And so we start following them. And as we're going into town, we're noticing the broken tail light, and we're noticing that they're not really dressed like police officers. They're not wearing hats. They didn't identify themselves in any real way. And so we were kind of like, well, what's going on? And I should probably point out that just about a year ago, Charlie, my son, and Jesse, my surrogate son, were in Mexico, and they were sitting by the pool, and the Mexican police came and handcuffed them and threw them in the back of a truck and then brought them into cartel area and stole everything from them and then left them there. And when they were trying to figure out how they were going to get back to town, they'd have these cabbies that would drive by them, and they would say, what are you two doing here? You should not be here. This is a very dangerous place for you. But nobody would drive them into town because they had no money, because the police had stole their money. And finally, they did. A cabbie did stop and say, okay, you guys, I don't care if you don't have any money. I'm going to drive you into town. This is very dangerous. So that's floating around in my mind as this is going on. And we're going down darker street after darker street. And we're trying to figure out what is going on, what's happening. And all of a sudden, this cart stops in front of us. The woman gets out, and she again starts screaming and says that Jeff, who our friend Jeff, is supposed to get out of our cart and get into hers. So now they want to split us up. And it's at this point that we're like, something really weird is going on. This is not right. I mean, we didn't get a warning. We didn't know anything about this. This is not reasonable. So we're trying to ascertain, who are you? You know, I said to the lady, I'd just like you to identify yourself. I'd like to see some identification. And her exact words were, I don't have my identification on me right now. Those were her exact words. And I'm like, what police officer says that?
Right? Not in America.
Not anywhere. I mean, I've been all over the place. I've never seen somebody behave that way. So, and again, it's screaming. It's
like they should have at least some kind of
It's a two-year-old tantrum she's having out there on the street. And she turns around and she starts screaming at the golf carts that are going by. Who am I? You tell these people who I am. You tell these people who I am. And we're just sitting there going, watching her. And we're just kind of in disbelief about this whole process, right? And she still doesn't tell us her name, her badge number, anything about anything. And finally, some locals that are in a cart say, yes, that's the police. You need to follow them. And it says something that you trust strangers going by in a golf cart more than you trust the people that are sitting here trying to take you to jail, right?
Yeah, that's something.
So we're like, okay, we've ascertained who these people are. I tried to explain to her the story about my son, Charlie. I tried to say, look, I'm not trying to defy you. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just really don't know what's going on here. And this seems very strange to me. This is not normal behavior and all that stuff. Well, she was just so irate and pissed at this time that she just wasn't listening to anything. Okay. So that's kind of what happens. We go off to the jail, and it's like you would think a third world country jail would be. It's very filthy inside. It's very disorganized. It's not up to date with anything. And people are kind of breezing in and out, and you really don't know who's in authority and who's not in authority. And we're sitting there, there's like five police officers that are in there. Each one of them asks us our name, our age, and our birth date multiple times. And each of them asked us multiple times.
They spoke English, right?
They spoke English, but very heavy Creole. So it was very...
weren't understanding your pronunciation.
Well, I don't know. They said, what's your name? And you say your name, you say your age, and you
or
say
maybe had no idea how to spell it.
I don't know. But at one point, we were just like, even when they wrote it down, it's like they didn't know where to put the paper. And so the paper would wind up on the floor, and they would ask us the question again. And I honestly don't think it was them trying to trip us up. I think it was that they just forgot, or they would, you know, they'd lose the paper, or I don't know, whatever happened. But this goes on from the start, from the time we get into the police station till the time we're released is about 4.5 hours. So rather than trying to, you know, tell you all of the stuff that happened, just understand it was a very chaotic mess, and papers were flying on the floor. Things were being misplaced. They didn't understand how to use their computers or their printers or any of these kinds of things. At one point, they talk about they're going to fingerprint us, and they take out this very archaic suitcase, and none of them knew how to use it. And so we're just sitting there trying to, like, squeeze blood from a turnip. You know, they were just trying to figure out how to do all of these things. And I think it really was just that they were so, they wanted to show their authority. They wanted us to be nervous and scared. And they were just trying to waste as much of our time as they possibly could, because we're those terrible Americans who came to their place and not followed their rules, even though we tried to tell them. We were never told about this rule. So we're sitting there, and at one point they want us to give all of our valuables to Debbie, who is not in the jail. It was just my husband and Jeff and myself. And so they want us to give all of our valuables to Debbie.
At least they didn't confiscate them.
That's true.
Could have done that.
Well, they were in trouble, I guess, earlier for that. So somebody had stolen somebody's something. So there was trouble for that. So they wanted us to give all of our stuff to Debbie, and they wanted her to drive back to the hotel with all of our valuables alone after curfew. And then they wanted her to retrieve her passports and come back. Well, it looks like we're about ready to run out of our time here. So I will have to continue on another recording.
And we're back.
We're back. Okay. I didn't realize that these are 30 minutes max. So try to be as brief as I can here. So they give all our valuables to Debbie. They want her to go get the passports. They want her to leave after dark through strange streets and go back and get the passports alone after curfew. And she told them no, she wasn't going to do that because she didn't know her way around, and we just didn't. She was just kind of nervous and scared about going out there alone. So she called Carol from the, or she called Tristian, and Tristian called Carol, who were both from the wonderful Pelican Reef Villas, and they helped us. And Carol's husband actually is also on the police force, but he's more of a, from what I understand, more like a task force kind of guy. And I think he works mainly with like the drugs and things like that, that are then the gangs and things that are going on out there. And so we've come to find out, Jeff went out to say, hey, you know, I could drive back with her or whatever, but she should not be driving around alone with all these valuables and stuff. And he was outside talking with them about this. So it's Carol, Debbie, Jeff. And then we find out that there is an officer in charge. And the officer in charge, Nobly is his name, sat and watched that whole thing take place and did absolutely nothing. He didn't intervene. He didn't try to say, hey, you know, this is a rule of ours. You need to do this. That's all it would have taken. And of course, we all would have put our masks on, and that would have been that. Nobly watched this whole thing and watched what they were doing and how these officers were behaving. And he did nothing. And to me, it's a real testament to how much they don't care about their people that they were treating us this way. It could have been done so much better. And again, we're 52, 54, and 58. We're not exactly hardened criminals out there trying to be disrespectful. So while that's happening outside, some major stuff was going on inside. Jeff, Debbie's husband, and myself were being escorted into a jail cell. Now, the jail cell is about 6x6. It's pitch black inside. And when we're going by, there's about 4 or 5 gentlemen, nobody wearing masks, that are all in a cell. And I think that they put Jeff in there. Jeff thinks that I got put in there. And so neither one of us know that we're not in there. They put me into a cell with a woman. I have to step over to kind of get into the jail cell. She also was not wearing a mask. And you walk into this cell, and it smelled, you got to think that the weather in Belize is very hot. You know, at this point in time, it's in the evening. But I think the day had gotten maybe into the mid 80s. And so it's very hot in the cell. It's very dark in the cell. There's only one little dingy light on the outside. And it stunk so bad. I swear everybody for a day, for maybe 5 years, maybe peed in the corner. And then you've got, I mean, yeah.
Probably they never cleaned it, honestly.
It was disgusting in there. And I was like, there's no way I am sitting down on this floor. So I went and leaned against the wall, and I stuck to the wall. I stuck to the wall. Little do I know that poor Jeffrey in the other cell was not put in with these men, but I did not know this at the time. He was put into a cell on his own. And we thought at the time that we were going to be there overnight, if not for the weekend, because New Year's happened on a Friday. So he goes and sits down in a corner, and he wants to put his back to the wall so he can see what's going on and stuff. And he proceeds to sit down in a very hot, very stanky puddle of piss. It was awful. And of course, none of us knew.
I would want to die.
I want to throw up is what I would want to do. And he is the most gentle, good, decent man you have ever met in your life. He follows all the rules. He is a very kind person. And the fact that he was in this situation is really, really just awful to think about. And so the men and this other sailor are getting more and more agitated, and we're both kind of getting nervous for one another because we think that they're in there. I'm there with my gal, and my gal is laying on the floor, on a hard concrete floor. And she says to me, I have a hole in my back. And I said, oh, you know, I'm very sorry. You know what happened? Oh, well, they beat me and they hit my head on the concrete, and they had done these things, awful things. And now she has a hole in her back. And she goes, do you want to feel? And I go, oh, no, I don't. I don't want to. And she stands up and she kind of wiggles her way back to me, and she grabs my hand, and she's wearing a shirt and everything. So she puts my hand on her back, and I'm trying not to touch, but she puts my hand on her back, and my finger just automatically goes into this hole that's in her back. And it was awful. I don't know how she got it. I don't know if what she was saying was true, but it was awful. But that was my cellmate. And so that was our experience there. Jeff comes back and he has to go into a cell. He's there for about 5 minutes before they take us all back out again. And now we're standing out there. And from this point on, most of the officers that are in there are not wearing their masks correctly. They're all got them down below their chins and everything. And that's how we knew that this was kind of not about the fact that we were wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It was more about the fact that we thought they wanted money at this point. And a man from the U.S. Embassy is called, and really it's a very strange position that he holds. He's a realtor there on island. And he's American, and somehow he has some special little thing that he's done with the U.S. Embassy that allows him to be on this small island and help take care of the Americans that come on there, Americans. And
maybe he's a spy.
he had very limited authority. He was able to pay a bond.
There you know.
Yeah, right. And he was able to make it so we didn't have to spend the night there in the jail. And again, this night goes on and on and on, and I can give you so many instances of absolute incompetence and just trying very hard to ultimately waste our time because they wanted to show us that they had authority and that they were proving their point, whatever that point was. And we finally leave, and we find out that we have to all pay 500 Belizean dollars, which is $250 US, to pay for this fine. Okay. And then they say they don't have a court there on the island, and we have to go to the mainland of Belize on Monday, and we have to go and pay this restitution. Okay. So at this point, we get to go home, and I think we're all of the same mind. None of us minded being told that we needed to wear a mask. None of us even minded that we would have to pay a fine, because even if we didn't know the rule, it was a rule. And we don't mind that we have to pay, you know, $500 or 500 Belizean restitution if that's the case, because it's their rule. And but we all unanimously agreed that the treatment of tourists coming into your country when you haven't really told them what the rules are. I mean, everybody has to drive a golf cart, so why isn't it posted in the golf court that you have to wear this mask and you're in the open air? Most places allow you to not wear a mask in open air if you're, you know, several, you know, tens or 10 or 20 feet apart. You can generally not have to wear your mask if you're out in the open air. I think that's the kind of case around, but who knows? So I certainly don't think that it justified having to sit in a Belizean jail cell. I don't think that it justified having to go and endure 4.5 hours for something that was an honest mistake, and then have to waste another day going all the way over to the mainland of Belize to spend another 6 hours, which is a story all on it to its own, to pay this fine, plead guilty and pay this fine, and then get your passports back and things. And then when we're over there in Belize, we find out that they've called reporters and all kinds of stuff, and they, you know, exploit it even further. So it's just, it was just kind of a, and this is day one, guys. This is the very first day of the new year.
And you wanted to have resolutions. You're going to start on the first.
Balance in your life and sleep and balance. Just be a good person and go out there and do your thing. And that was the very first day of the new year. So it was a little bit, it really did throw me for a loop, and it did kind of put things all on the back burner and shift around. And you know, it was not fun.
But you're back. So.
But now we're back. And I should also point out, this is one thing I really do want to get across. The only reason I tell this story is because I do think that not just Americans, but tourists in general going to Belize need to be very, very careful when they go over there, because the people are amazing, amazing, amazing people. And they're hungry for tourists, and they just want to work. They want to feed their families, and they just want their lives to kind of be restored, just like everybody else does in the world, you know? And I think that these police officers, the woman's name was Erily Young, the other police officer was Malcolm Ramirez, and then the officer in charge, Nobly. I think they are the very worst that Belize has to offer. I think that none of it needed to happen. They could have gotten their point across with a simple warning, or with just saying, hey, this is a warning and I want you to pay this restitution. Fine. We would have done that. We would have done that without even question. So I do think that they are the worst that the country has to offer. However, you know, if you do go, be aware that there is corruption that kind of happens there. And
I just want to point out, not necessarily just Belize, because we hear these stories on different countries or different islands in Caribbean, in other parts of the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, you have to be careful. You have to
be wary. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do have to be wary.
It doesn't matter where. Even you go to France or these, you know, civilized, or people saying yeah, civilized countries.
Yeah.
You always have to be careful because
yeah,
you do.
But if you do choose to go to Belize, understand that 95-98% of the people there are absolutely lovely, wonderful, gracious people. And their country is very beautiful. And it's like in a lot of places, you got a lot of corruption that happens there.
Especially in countries like these, or even some of the European countries, mm-hmm, Eastern European, because I'm a little bit familiar with that.
Yeah.
If there are transitions, big transitions from democracy or from authoritarian regimes to democracy, there's a transition period where, you know, people have to change. You still have the same old people that were running the show before, but now they're calling something else.
Yeah.
Where the corruption was a norm. So to change the system, you have to change the entire generations. And that's usually about 50 years at least of change that has to happen, because it doesn't happen instantly.
Yeah.
And if these countries were used to that and nothing changes, so they're going to continue doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but that is the funny thing too, is that once, you know, our face became well known to everybody, I mean, the island of Ambergris Key is, I believe they said 27 miles long, and I think there's like 10,000 people that live there, and every single one of them seemed to know who we were, you know, but the funny thing is we found out later that there was a court on Ambergris Key. We could have paid our fine right there. Most people were absolutely shocked that we didn't have a warning. And most were very, very gracious about, you know, how horrible, they were very angry that we were treated the way that we were.
Do you think this was something personal, or you just were at the wrong place the wrong time?
I think we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I do think that that maybe they were showing off for their officer in charge.
So you don't think they spotted you before and they kind of
saw that? I don't think that we got
signaled. Things like this happen.
I don't,
right?
Yeah. Obviously it could have happened that way.
It could have happened.
But we were very close to, a minute earlier, and we would have been around the corner and we wouldn't even have run into these guys. So I do think that the woman, Erily Young, is a child. I think she is a little girl practicing at being a woman, and she really, really wants to have respect. We learned stories about her.
But that's
her.
Not how you learn, right?
We learned a lot of stories about her, and I do think that she is just somebody that really gets off on authority, and she wanted to prove that she had more authority, you know.
As unfortunate this experience is, I honestly think, based on what my friend Rebecca teaches, taught me and continues to teach me, you had to go through this. You had to learn some kind of lessons mm-hmm. from this experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was a way to avoid it. I don't know if there's anything any of you in your party did mm-hmm. to attract these events. Mm-hmm. We were talking before yeah. about chakras yeah. and all this spiritual stuff and energy. If you're into these kind of things, or if you work with life coaches or any kind of coaches, they'll at some point bring these up or explain to you how these work. But usually you kind of attract mm-hmm. everything that's happening to you, whether you realize it or not. Yeah. So I don't know
yeah.
what happened.
What do you shake out?
Who,
to like, yeah.
What? But most likely you had to learn something from
yeah.
this.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the attraction part of it, you know, you do sit there and think about it. The funny thing is that I was probably in a better headspace than I had been in a long time in terms of just relaxed and chill. And
maybe it was somebody else that attracted this. Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was somebody else. Mm. You know, you don't know.
Maybe.
Because you guys were all together. It happened to everybody, all of you.
Yeah,
but you just don't know.
I don't know either, right? I do know that... you know, Debbie too is in a place where she's trying to grow and change and do some things too. So it's kind of like in terms of, I like the idea of like, okay, maybe we were supposed to learn something from this. I'm not sure exactly what I learned, except for the fact that I'm probably personally not going back to Belize, but although I can say the country, like I said, you know, finding tolerance and peace. So maybe things not happening on my timeline or my agenda, maybe that's it, you know, that I can sit there and plan, which I did. I planned and planned and planned for this perfect start of a new year because I was so sick of 2020 and I was ready to
maybe
start
all these negative feelings about the previous year, mm-hmm. they just bottled up and then exploded all at once.
It could have.
Negative attract negative thoughts attract negative things happening to you.
That's
and
true.
We all had a lot of that
last year. Yeah,
again, that's not for sure what happened.
Yeah.
We're just, you know.
Yeah, or maybe we were in the wrong place, or maybe she needed to learn something. I'm not really sure.
But we were talking about resolutions and being thrown off and getting back on track. Yeah, this was a big story or big event that happened.
Yeah.
And you guys could have been scarred for life, which I'm sure, you know, it's going to take a while until I'm sure you're still processing everything that happened or dealing with it.
I think that's true. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it was for the best. And then, you know, you can turn it around into something positive.
I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but yes, well, I hear what you're saying. I do.
That's what Rebecca says, that there's always a negative and a positive. And even in the worst negative situation, there's something positive that happens, or you have to find it and mm-hmm. you have to hold on to that to bring yourself out of those thoughts. And yes, it happened, but you know, like she says, leave it behind and don't think about it, because the more you think about it, the more bad things you're attracting.
Yes.
Because it's one of those events that gives you very dark, negative feelings, emotions, and you don't want to attract more of that.
No, that's absolutely true. I can tell you that, you know, the last time that we were in Belize 11 years ago, some other stuff happened that wasn't legal or anything like that. It was more medical. We had some medical issues, but the fact that we were there with Jeff and Deb and we went through that experience together was actually a good positive thing that in terms of that we were together and that we were able to kind of lean on each other. And after we've come back, it's been, you know, it's an interesting thing that happened, but I am glad that we were there together. You know, it makes us stronger as friends as a result of that. And, but yeah, you're right. And it's like I told you, you know, things have, like, our power has gone out, lots of things have gone out. And so it seems like there's like this dark you know, kind of weird Eeyore cloud that's kind of over. And I'm trying to cleanse myself of all of that, because it does have that feel to it. Like you just have this negative thing coming.
I think there's several things you can do. Is the minute you have a negative thought, you need to force yourself to spin it in a positive way. Find a positive. Don't think it as a negative, something negative. You need to find a positive in it. The other thing is surround yourself with positive people.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with positive people, people that can motivate you, that can encourage you, that they're there to beat your butt. Basically.
Yeah. So I think that is absolutely true. I'm going up to the boat here in just a little bit, and I'm really excited about it, because it is a happy place, like we were talking about before. It is a happy place. And I do think that's exactly right. Is just trying, you know, when we've all started this brand new year, and some of you have created these resolutions for yourself, and you know, you don't have to necessarily go to a Mexican jail or a Belizean jail to have, like, you know, maybe you've fallen off the wagon, or maybe you, like, in terms of eating, or
a cathartic experience,
some kind of something
changes your life entirely.
That's changing the motivation or the direction that you've created for yourself as you're trying to start this new and healthy start, or whatever your goals are for this year, and maybe you're running into some roadblocks. I can tell you that coming off of this, I can tell you what I'm intending to do, because I, you know, haven't had enough time to kind of quite recover from everything, but it is what I plan on doing, is trying to get back on track, trying to, you know, one thing I really did get a lot out of was through that yoga, was the meditation and listening to, using your senses, hearing, you know, I had no idea that my hearing in some ways is, much more open than I thought it was. And we were sitting there doing some of these yoga poses, and she was saying, listen to the smallest sound. And I thought that was interesting. So I was listening, and you could hear the wind through the palm trees, and it was a beautiful, beautiful sound.
And you would normally not pay attention. Yeah. It's just wind, right?
Yeah, it's just wind. So I think that's what I'm going to be doing, is just trying to kind of regroup. Maybe I am one other thing I used to be good at, but I'm not as good at anymore, is journaling. And I kind of made that commitment that I was going to try to start doing that again too.
Well, here's the thing. You have to focus on the future. This already happened in the past. You cannot change it.
Yep.
It happens and done. You need to compartmentalize it, put it in the back, and leave it there.
Yep.
Don't keep bringing it up.
Yep.
And just move forward with all these things that are coming up.
All these good things that are coming up. So, anyway, that's going to be our little close here, I think, for the beginning of this new year. You know, the ultimate takeaway wasn't to bring anybody down. It really is to show you that you can, that big, huge negative things can happen, but we can all figure out.
Life goes on.
It's the way that we bounce from it, right?
It's what we choose. Do we choose to stay in the past and focus on negatives, or do we choose to move forward and find the positives in our life and enjoy the positives?
I think I'm going for positive. I'm going to try very hard. I'm going to turn off the news, and I'm going to turn off, you know, some of that, unplug from all these different things.
Anything that gives you negative energies, you need to turn off.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. Could be people.
Yeah.
Could be other, you know, outside distractors like social media or TV or, I don't know, trees down.
Yeah.
because of the wind. I don't know.
Yeah. Debbie said a great thing. She said something about closing your circle, making it tighter, bringing the energy in that you want and that you like.
Well, you know, typically people say that, or in general, they say that you are the result of the five closest people to you. So look who's in your close circle.
Oh, that's a good one.
And
I like that.
Yeah, that's true in business too. If you want to make more money, are you hanging out with the people that are making a lot more money than you're hanging out with the people that make a lot less money than you?
Be inspired. Be inspired.
Yeah, be inspired. You need to look for the positive, the things that are motivating you, that are inspiring you. And you just have to focus on the positive side of life.
Life is
beautiful.
Even with the COVID, even with all the craziness that's going on.
There are a lot
of
positives that happen in the COVID era.
Yeah, you do. There actually is, when you see human grace, and you see people that fight in terms of, like, just battling this disease and
just people helping each other, helping family, them. Spending more time together. Yeah. Where before, you know, everybody kind of did their own thing. Maybe they didn't drastically change their lifestyle, but maybe they paid more attention to each other or reconnected more. Or who knows?
Yeah, one of my very favorite things that people said about it was, it's very few times in life that God puts everything on pause so that you can get your shit together. And not only did he put pause on in your life, he put pause on the entire world. So, I mean, you know, this is, it can be used as a time to really figure out maybe changes in jobs, changes in things that you enjoy, going out and doing things that you really, really like. And that's a very positive thing. So I think we're going to end it there. And, unless you have something else.
No, I just wanted to add that if anybody has any experience they want to share with us.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah. We would love to have people talk about how they overcome negative situations, derailed from their journey, and they got back on track.
Yeah.
Anything that you think motivates other people.
Yeah. That sounds great. Do they do that here on this?
They can leave a comment directly on the podcast. We'll also put this on the blog, or just contact Jenny directly. If you don't want to share it out in the open, we'd love to know.
Yeah. JennyHeckman17@gmail.com. We would love that. I'd actually really love to hear your journey and how you pull up your bootstraps when you come against adversity and make yourself better.
If you help just one person, mm-hmm. you never know.
Yeah.
You can change somebody's life.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. We'll see you next time.
We will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us on Jenny's Tattletales. We'll be right back.